America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you from Psalm 149. It says this, "Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in His Maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." We praise the Lord and then we fight. We fight on our knees. We fight. We stand up for the truth. And we speak the truth in love. That's our job as believers in the Lord Jesus. Well, it's always a pleasure for me to welcome my friend Bishop E.W. Jackson to the program. He's definitely someone who has the high praises of God in his mouth and a two-edged sword in his hand. He makes a difference for the kingdom every day. Pastor, author, speaker, Harvard-trained lawyer, Marine Corps veteran, founder and president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. And Bishop, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for coming on today.
Well, Pastor Jeff, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so you are in North Carolina on the Truth Tour. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, I began in South Carolina yesterday with our first Truth Tour event. I'm doing a second one tonight. I've got them scheduled now in Mississippi and Colorado and Oklahoma and wherever people invite me. And I think it went very, very well. So I'm looking forward to tonight. I've got a group of churches and ministers that have gotten together for this. And of course, it's, pray for me because I'm going to be saying some things about American history that I think have really been misunderstood because of Howard Zinn and others who have lied about our history. I mean, we've got our deficits, obviously, but you don't have to lie about them. Just tell the truth. And frankly, that's not what's happened. And I think it's led to a lot of people hating and resenting our country and being ready to be used by radicals when the time comes because they've been indoctrinated in our educational system all their lives.
Okay, so Bishop, I saw something along those lines. I saw something on CNN, of all places, and they did a poll. They were comparing Republicans and Democrats 2001 to 2026. And so these were the three areas. They said, celebrate, you know, the 250th birthday is coming up July 4th. They said Republicans were pretty much the same. They said, you know, in 2001, July 4th is celebrating America. And the Democrats were high in 2001. Now that's way down. They said it's more about family and friends. They said when it comes to displaying the flag, Democrats and Republicans 25 years ago were about the same, 68%, 65%. But now the Democrats are 27% in 2026 where they will display the flag. And then this is the most telling one as it comes relates to loving the country and being proud to be an American. The Democrats in 2001 were up there around 85%, and now they're at 29%. So they were asking the question, what has happened in the last 25 years?
Well, you know, look, only God ultimately knows what's happening in the human heart to lead people to these really perverse views. But we know that we have now endured a generation of indoctrination against the country. My truth tour is intended to try to right some of this wrong thinking in people's hearts and minds about America so they can understand us in its, in our proper context. But a lot of people have been taught to hate the country. I think I may have told you this before. I had a young Navy guy who was a part of my church for about 3 years. And before he left, he told me, he said, I want to thank you because when I came to this church, I hated my country. He said, I'd read Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States. And I thought, why in the world would I even be in the Navy? Why would I serve a country like this? This is a horrible country. He said, coming to you, I began to understand it from a biblical perspective and realize what a wonderful place America is. Not perfect, of course, because no country is, but better than any place else in the world. So he left with a different attitude. But just think, multiply that by millions of times of kids who are being exposed to that kind of stuff and taught to hate the country. And frankly, this is what you get.
Mm. Okay, so you're, the Truth Tour has some controversy, as you said, some controversial subjects. What would those controversial subjects be?
Well, I deal, for example, with the Three-Fifths Clause. So, you know, people have believed that the Three-Fifths Clause is a clause of the Constitution. I think it was in Article 1 that that defined black people as three-fifths of a person. And it's just, what astounds me is it's not even close to being true. But people have been taught this. Mm-hmm. It was simply a compromise over how much of the slave population would be counted in the census for purposes of congressional representation. And they reverted back to a formula that they'd established for different reasons under the Confederation before we were the United States of America. But it had nothing to do with how you define the humanity of a black person, but they want to try it somehow. It enshrined in the Constitution that America defined black people as only three-fifths human. I mean, it's preposterous. And I'll tell you, I could tell by some of the looks on people's faces when I began to explain the truth about it, that people were having a hard time with it because, of course, they've been told that this is America, that this is what we believe. And again, it's just wrong.
So, Bishop, I know you're just kicking this tour off. So this is the second event coming up tonight?
Second event coming up tonight. And this is going to be at a church. Yesterday I was at a company, wonderful company, Christian company, that wanted me to come in and speak to their employees about this stuff, Nutramax. But tonight I'll be at a church. So I'm going to have a little bit more latitude, a little bit more time. So I'm going to get into, I got into a number of issues last night, but I'm getting into more issues tonight. And one of the issues I tackle is, you know, we often hear the left say America was built on slavery. And I mean, Pastor Jeff, again, I am convinced on a deep study of this, not only did slavery not build America, slavery held America back. And it cost us dearly after the Civil War. It took us about $250 billion in 100 years to get over the cost of the Civil War. Slavery certainly didn't build America. In fact, again, if anything, it almost destroyed America.
Well, speaking of that, so today is June 19th, Juneteenth, and that's the day that we celebrate the enslaved people in Texas were freed 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. So, Bishop, you as a black man, as the descendant of slaves, as you write in your book, Sweet Land of Liberty, how do you view Juneteenth?
Well, let's call Juneteenth what it really ought to be called, the George Floyd holiday. I mean, that's really what it is. Because, look, I have no problem with people in Texas celebrating Juneteenth. But as a national holiday, I just don't see the point. And I know, boy, you talk about touching the third rail. A friend of mine was telling me that he pointed this out to people. He said, and they got quite angry when he started pointing this out, but this is just historical reality. Why wouldn't we celebrate the passage of the 13th Amendment, which declared involuntary servitude forever illegal in America? Why wouldn't we celebrate the end of the Civil War, which was when slavery as a practical matter really ended? But I think Juneteenth was picked up as because, you know, they were looking for a way to sort of calm the natives after months of riots. Over 500 riots, and decided, well, this is what we're going to give them. And so they gave us Juneteenth. The good thing for me is my wife's birthday is June 19th. So my wife says, well, as far as I'm concerned, they gave me a federal holiday. Thank you very much.
Well, I had heard, you know, they were talking about Black History Month, and it was Morgan Freeman that he was asked by Mike Wallace about that. He said, I don't want them to reduce my history to a month. I don't want Black History Month. What are your feelings about Black History Month?
Well, I'll tell you here again, we'll talk about getting on the wrong side of a lot of people, but I don't even like it, because to me, when you call Black History Month, you call it Black History Month, but you're celebrating Oprah Winfrey, and you know, you're celebrating Maya Angelou. You know, I mean, I have no doubt that these are people that others find reasons to admire. I don't have the same feeling. I think we ought to be studying American history and talk about all the ways in which God knit us together. You know, I said to this audience yesterday, you know, people talk about diversity. This is the most diverse nation in the world. We are the most diverse nation in the history of the world, Pastor Jeff. Mm-hmm. So we don't need anybody to sort of make us try to figure out how to be diverse. We are a diverse nation, but we got to get away from treating people differently on the basis of the color of their skin and just treat everybody the same. That, to me, is what America amounts to. And then we can study the various aspects of that wonderful history. I think the Irish history in America is fascinating. So Italians, Germans, certainly the Africans, but it's all part of the mosaic of one nation, not a bunch of warring tribes.
Well, I talked after the Carmelo Anthony verdict and all the stuff that was going on, you know, Bishop, the liberals love to stoke the flames of racism. Yep. I mean, it's just like they keep doing it. I don't know about you, but it seemed like when Obama got elected, that's when racism really took off. In terms of getting it, you know, going again and really stoking the fires of it. Seemed like it was kind of dying down. We were just people. And, you know, I know you like Martin Luther King Jr. Well, where's his dream today that we would judge people not based on the color of their skin, but the content of their character? Now everything is focused on the color of somebody's skin, which means nothing.
Yeah, that was the true vision for the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement was not supposed to be about, well, they've done it to us, let's do it to them. Let's have 2.5 centuries of vengeance and let's make color the be all and end all of life. No, it was about let's end that, because we know it's immoral, it's wrong. Let's just have everybody be judged on the same basis, your competence, your character, your decency, your integrity, who you are as a person. Instead, the so-called civil rights leaders of today have led us into, no, you must first and foremost look at a person's skin color or their racial background. And of course, that's taking us in exactly the wrong direction, because all it does, as you were saying, it magnifies, in fact, creates division. And Barack Obama, you're right, he made things worse because Barack Obama was the racial president. Mm-hmm. Everything, if you disagreed with him, it was because of his race. Right. If you criticized him, it was because of his race. I mean, not mature enough to understand. We are talking about American public policy. We have a right to disagree with you. It has nothing to do with race, but not for him. They only criticize me because I don't look like past presidents. So he really did, in my view, worsen. He set us back in terms of moving toward one nation under God.
He really did. And, you know, the irony, Bishop, is he told black men that if you don't vote for Kamala Harris, you're a traitor to your race, or however he phrased it. It was kind of like that. And then he goes and supports Abigail Spanberger against Winsome Sears.
Well, of course, because we know, again, this is not a they don't really care about, when I say they, the elites of the left don't really care about anybody. They care about power. They don't care about black people. They don't care about white people. Right. They don't care about all of that is just window dressing. That's just a facade, because the real goal here is power and control over everything and everybody. So if you're going along with that, regardless of the color of the skin, they love you. But if you're not, you are persona non grata.
Well, you're case in point. They don't jump on your bandwagon. They don't like you at all. And, you know, we've talked before about Thomas Sowell, one of the wisest men and strategist, political commentator, and he just got it all, and he's got so much wisdom, and they never mention the guy's name because he doesn't fit the narrative. It's unbelievable. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, pastor, author, speaker, Harvard-trained lawyer, Marine Corps veteran. The list goes on and on. He's on his truth tour, and stop number two is tonight in North Carolina. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my friend Bishop E.W. Jackson, pastor, author, speaker, Harvard-trained lawyer, Marine Corps veteran, founder and president of STAND. He's on the second leg of his truth tour, and so we want to talk about truth. And so, Bishop, we were talking a little bit at the break about the opening of the Obama Museum Library, as you said, it's what did you call that building?
I call it a dystopian prison building, because to me, it looks like one of the most foreboding, ugly things I've ever seen in my life. It's just not inspiring or uplifting at all. So I don't know, but I guess that's his personality. I guess.
Well, it was $850 million.
Oh.
I think it was two or three times what the budget was. It went up, and they've been reporting that some of the subs haven't gotten paid, and you know, I think they used all minority subs. Which, okay, if you want to do that, that's your prerogative, but pay the people. Some plumbers owed $4 million. He's going to have to sue to try and get his money.
My understanding is, my understanding is that they owe $100 million on that thing. And you're right. I mean, here again, boy, the hypocrisy of these folks knows no bounds. They claim to be so concerned about helping the minorities. But then when you watch the way they behave, you say, boy, with friends like that, you don't need enemies.
No, you really don't. Okay, let's talk about Pride Month in Major League Baseball. Unbelievable. Why does the Major League Baseball owners, why do they go along with this?
Well, you know, one of the things I have said in the Truth Tour, and I've said this to you, we are witnessing, we talked about it at the opening of the program, we're witnessing the results of a generation of indoctrination. These people didn't come to these conclusions right away or submit to them all of a sudden. I mean, they've been taught this stuff behind the scenes, in classrooms, by corrupt teachers for a long time. And then when they finally get into the public sphere, out comes this perverse view of life, and they can't help themselves because this is what they think. That's the only way to think. And you people who don't agree with me, what's wrong with you? Because that's what they've been indoctrinated into believing. And that's why this is so dangerous, because it has infected the entire culture. And while we've got to stand up against it and say, look, there are sane people who think what you're doing is crazy. I thought baseball was supposed to be about the ability to hit that little white ball out of the park rather than the rainbow color that you're wearing to celebrate homosexuality and transgenderism. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, when then you had the three baseball players from the San Francisco Giants that actually wrote Genesis 9, this is what the rainbow is really about. You know, God's made a covenant that I will not destroy the world with a flood again. And those guys were thrown under the bus and chastised for that. Well, they have the right to have their religious freedom. You can't make them support this stuff.
This makes me think of Isaiah 5. Woe to those who put evil for good and good for evil, darkness for light, bitter for sweet, wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And that's exactly what we've got here. The guys who stood up for what the rainbow really means, they're bad people. How dare you write a scripture on your hat? Yeah. But the people who are promoting, again, sexual deviancy and perversion. And by the way, a ballpark is where a lot of kids come. It's right. Where a lot of families come. Why are you pushing this stuff on these families and on these children? And the guys standing up against it, oh, they're terrible. They're going to be punished. There will be sanctions against them if they continue this behavior. It really is topsy-turvy. And I just pray to God that we will get the Judeo-Christian value system back in predominance in our country and leave this other stuff to the side.
Well, we do have to give a shout out to the Texas Rangers because they're not participating in all that. And so,
to President Trump, who's not doing any of this, putting the flag, the rainbow flag on all the government buildings and all the embassies and all the craziness that we saw under Obama and Biden, thank God, is over. And I hope it never comes back again.
Amen to that. Let's talk about the war in Iran and I had to look it up. I didn't know what a MOU was, Memorandum of Understanding. It's 14 points that Trump signed with the president of Iran. But that's tenuous at best, and it still hasn't. Israel wasn't involved in this, but Israel's very involved in what's going on. Iran is not bombing us. They've been bombing Israel. How do you view the MOU and this end of the war?
Well, first of all, let's say we and nobody else has any right to dictate to Israel what they need to do to protect their own sovereignty any more than we as a country would allow someone to dictate to us what we can and cannot do to protect our sovereignty. We don't care what the world thinks about mass deportations. What we care about is our own country and doing what we know is best for us and our citizens. So the world doesn't like it, too bad. I think Israel has the right to take the same attitude. We can't allow the world to tell us whether we can defend our own people. And by the way, that region that they're bombing, that's the home of Jesus. That's the Galilee region. That's where Jesus grew up. That's where he spent much of his time. I was talking to some Jews from Galilee, and they said, they're driving our people out of Galilee, out of those sacred places that we as Christians love to visit. And so Israel's got a right to defend themselves and to stop Hezbollah. I wish President Trump would just say, look, do what you need to do and decimate Hezbollah so that we can get on with this rather than restraining them. To me, all he's doing is giving Iran more leverage and prolonging the process.
Well, you know, I have maintained for a while, Bishop, that I don't think President Trump understands the mindset of a Muslim, especially one of those guys, the radical Muslims that want to bring in destruction because that's going to bring in the 12th Imam and you know, their Messiah is really the Antichrist. And that's who they're looking for. And that shows you how upside down that religion is.
Yeah, they are apocalyptic. They are an apocalyptic cult, these Shia Muslims are. They believe in the coming of the, as you put it, the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, who is going to, by the way, reign over the earth, put the whole earth under Sharia law and his dictatorship. Now, they believe that the way he comes in is through Armageddon. And so to the extent that they are able to promote Armageddon, in other words, promote a worldwide conflict, put a nuclear bomb in Israel and bomb America, to the extent that they can do these things that lead to a worldwide apocalypse, They are ushering in the Mahdi. Now, that's insane thinking, but that's the way they think. And I don't know that President Trump fully grasps what he's dealing with. He's used to negotiating with relatively rational people, and these people are not rational.
No, and money doesn't, that's not the driving force for them. And so, you know, if you sit down at the negotiating table and the person is like, well, okay, whatever we come up with, you have to die in the end. how do you have a negotiation with that?
Yeah, exactly. And people who are willing to do almost anything, I mean, look, they've killed 40, maybe 50,000 of their own people for daring to suggest that they don't want to be enemies of America or Israel. They want to get on with their lives and live in peace and prosperity. They're murdering their own people, committing a genocide. Yeah, you're right. How do you deal with people who are willing to slaughter their own in order to maintain an opportunity to slaughter us and slaughter Jews or anybody else who gets in their way? So I don't have any confidence in this agreement at all. I think that President Trump is going to ultimately have to bring them to their knees through kinetic warfare.
So Bishop Benjamin Netanyahu, I haven't heard a lot from him as these negotiations have been progressing, but he's got to be pretty frustrated. Now, he's in a weird spot because he needs Trump's support and America's support. Obviously, he can't just go it alone. But it's what you said. Hey, if Trump were the president of Israel, mm-hmm. he would be attacking constantly. He wouldn't sit by and say, oh, we're just going to let him continue to bomb us.
And he wouldn't let anybody's criticism hold him back. And I think that that's the position that Benjamin Netanyahu has got to take. I am a little disappointed with President Trump with this attitude that somehow he thinks by restraining Israel, he's going to make a better deal with Iran. Again, I don't think he understands. I don't think Iran cares about what President Trump does to restrain Israel. They're never going to stop hating Israel, and they're never going to stop wanting to destroy Israel. This is ingrained in their theology and their ideology, and nothing President Trump does and no restraint he puts on Benjamin Netanyahu or Israel is going to change that.
For sure. Well, let's shift gears to the SAVE Act. I don't know if that's totally dead. It doesn't look like it's, if it's not totally dead, it's on life support. If America can't see how, especially in California with their mayoral race, if you can't see how desperately we need the SAVE Act, you're blind as a bat because this, you know, we allow votes to come in by mail, you know, a week, 2 weeks after the election, and oh look, this woman that got destroyed in the debates, she's now beating Spencer Pratt. It to me, it stinks to high heaven. And unless we have free and fair and secure elections, the whole thing is gone.
And my understanding is that those late ballots coming in, their marks do not have to be verified. That means you can literally manufacture votes up until you have enough to win. And, you know, these I call them Democrats because this stuff is just so demonic. They are constantly telling us there's nothing to see here. There's no election fraud. Right. There's no problem here. And yet they do these things that do nothing but undermine our confidence in the kinds of elections that they hold. You know, I remind everybody all the time, beware, this is what they want for America. And this is how they see themselves as gaining absolute and total control over this country. And you see where they have that control and what a disaster it is for the people who live under their rule, because that's what they're doing. They're ruling over people, not serving them.
Well, if you go back to that CNN poll, Bishop, where you have in today's Democrat Party, 29% are proud to be Americans, you know, down from 85% in 2001. I mean, that is so extremely telling. So if you hate the country, I'm embarrassed to be an American. Well, And I've said this about Barack Obama. When he became president, he wanted to fundamentally change America. His wife said, this is the first time I've ever been proud of America. It's like, okay, that's a gigantic red flag right here, because if you don't love America, then leave. But they don't want to leave. They want to fundamentally change it, turn it into a third world country, or as they team up with Islam, turn it into an Islamic country. That's what Islam wants to do, and have Sharia law govern from coast to coast.
Talk about suicidal, because they'd be the first to go. I mean, right. You know, they just have no idea. Well, look, polls also indicate 2/3 of Democrats favor socialism. I mean, everybody's talking about how socialism is taking over the Democrat Party. No, the reality is that the Democrat Party has become a socialist party. And so that means it is a party that believes in wealth distribution, property confiscation, godlessness, sexual deviancy, all the things that socialism tends to carry with it, because its fundamental premise is there is no God and there is nothing inherent. As it's called, justice. We have to do this for ourselves and make it up as we go along, and we will do that as we see fit. I mean, and that's what the Democrat Party has become. And the question, I think, Pastor Jeff, is the Democrat Party about to implode, or is the Democrat Party about to take over the country and move the country more in a socialist direction? I know what we're praying for, which is that it implodes and maybe something more rational comes out of it. But we can't let them take over the country.
Well, we have that phrase, Bishop, politics makes strange bedfellows. And now you have the Muslims connected with socialism and with the liberals. And, you know, I mean, the liberals have no idea what you're teaming up with. As you said, as soon as they gain power, well, the liberals are the first to go. They're going to be executed, they're going to be arrested. I mean, Islam doesn't have any tolerance for that stuff.
You know, you said politics makes strange bedfellows, with emphasis on the strange, because they are into some strange stuff. So, and you are absolutely right. This red-green axis, as some come to call it, between radical Islamists and the Democrat Party and leftists, is one of the strangest things we've ever seen, because they are really natural enemies, because, of course, Muslims are very, very strict in what they expect of women and how they expect people to conduct themselves, and punishable sometimes by death. I mean, we've heard about these honor killings that have been taking place in our country. Some girl goes out and falls in love. She's a Muslim girl, falls in love with some Christian guy, and they kill her for it. So it's amazing to watch them work together, because they have a common hatred of our country.
Yeah, really is. We're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's on his Truth Tour in North Carolina tonight. What city are you in, Bishop?
Matthews, North Carolina. I'll be at Joy Church at 7 p.m. With my host pastor, Pastor Leon Threet. And we're going to have a great time. Anybody who's listening right now, come on by. We'd love to have you.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. And the bishop will stay on to help me with these questions. So give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. We've been talking about his Truth Tour, and a lot of the things we talked about today are things that he talks about in the Truth Tour and what is going on in our society. We are called to be salt and light. What I love about Bishop Jackson is he fulfills that. He is salt. He is light. He shines the light of truth on the lies of our culture. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily get you a lot of friends and accolades from the culture. You know, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If we were of the world would love its own. But because we're not of the world, he's called us out of the world. Therefore, the world hates us. And so when you stand up and speak for the truth, the Lord loves it, but the world is going to hate it. But that's fine. We want to be faithful to the Lord's call. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, the bishop is here with me, and so we'd love to take your call. And we have our friend Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, hi. Bishop, I know that you handle more national stuff, but I am wondering, who can you turn to in your city when things are going crazy and you see everything that's going on? You talk, people talk about it, but they say the city council doesn't listen to us. They don't care. I went to one meeting. It was 5 hours long, and they finally got to the thing I was interested in at the end, and a lot of people had left. But anyway, I think that you can't just not go to these meetings and let these people just run hog wild and do what they want with your city.
Amen. You cannot. And obviously, what you've got to do is find allies. Maybe there's a local pastor who is concerned about some issue. Maybe you just got some friends who agree with you. You're right. Most of my stuff is national, but I've been involved in local politics, and I've watched the way these local city councils wear people down and play games in order to try to stop opposition. We have something for Stan called the ambassadorship. You can be a Stand ambassador, and we will help you, train you, support you in making a difference yourself, and maybe having some other people become attracted to what you're doing. So if you're interested in that, just get in touch with us at our office. Just email us at, in fact, you can email us at truthtour at standinc.net, or call us at 757-375-6444. And we'll put you in touch with our field director and try to help you in whatever way we can.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. I appreciate the call. I appreciate you listening to the program. We have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, y'all. Thank you for your show, Pastor. And simplify, Mr. Jackson.
Simplify. Yep. Do or die. Hoorah.
Now, the reason I called is I've called my politicians in Washington, and I think it falls on deaf ears, but we have television, we have YouTube, we have ways to get messages out of what it's like to live under communism, Marxism, under Sharia. We could run short 15-second ads, and you guys might have contacts with people who have contacts with people, and start putting it out there on the televisions and making people aware, since the government schools have destroyed them and our communist colleges have destroyed them. Go through the media and advertise and show the country the dangers and the damage it will cause to us. What are your thoughts,
Bishop? Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. I would think Prager University, Turning Point USA. We've done some of that. I had a thing go viral one time about the nature of the Democrat Party. But look, you're right. That's a call to all of us to educate people about what the consequences are, because, you know, it sounds great to a young person. Oh, we're going to give everybody free bus rides. Oh, we're going to give everybody free food at the grocery. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't work. It's never worked. Mm-hmm. And all it's led to is starvation and genocide.
Yeah. Bishop, do you remember the old movie with was it Charlton Heston, where they had the famous line where he said Soylent Green is people, and he was yelling out, hey, the government is lying to us, and here's what's really going on. You know, they're making them eat this food, and it was the people they were killing. But it's like a lot of those movies, The Hunger Games, things like that. A lot of those things are right before our eyes, and we believe them on television. We believe them in movies. But when you confront somebody with the truth that the government does not, big pharma, big tech, they don't tell the truth. We saw that during COVID. They just flat lied about all this stuff. And yet we still seem to swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
You know, look at Europe. Europe is trying socialism now. They're moving in that direction. Look at England. England is working with more and more with Muslims and giving them more and more latitude. It's a disaster. In fact, you know, this interesting fact I found out as part of the Truth Tour research. Do you know that 50,000 to 175,000 Europeans die of heat exhaustion every year because they don't have air conditioning? And one of the reasons why they don't have air conditioning, there are a couple of others, but one of the big reasons is climate change has convinced people, the government has tried to convince people that, yeah, you might die of heat exhaustion, but if you use air conditioning, it's going to destroy the planet. So people are dying by the hundreds of thousands. That's what government control gives you, rather than giving people the choice. Oh, no, we'll make the choice for you because we know what's best. And what happens? You get people dead.
Mm. It's when the lies kill. So it's the truth that sets people free. Well, thank you for that, David. We have Norman on the line from Mississippi. Norman, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor Reed. We bless God for your broadcast.
Thank you, brother.
But I just want to say to you all this morning that every saved person in the world today was once a sinner. And if you don't believe that God can save Democrat, because he can. He can.
For sure.
But we need to be like Nehemiah, like some of the prophets who interceded for these people. God didn't give us the right to give up on them. God, in fact, what he said to us was that you should go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. In other words, you preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. The gospel works on people's mind, because once you say it, once you give that gospel out, God can take that word that you have given out and use it as a hammer on the mind of sinners and bring them in. So I don't like this conversation where we demonize folks who don't know God.
Yes, good point, Norman. I think just like when we talk about Islam, we're demonizing the philosophy of it. No, the people that are in it, they're captives to it. We want to rescue them. Those who believe the lies that the Democrat Party is pushing, we're against that. That is demonic. But the people are the mission field. Bishop, how would you look at that?
Yeah, let's look at the distinction Jesus made and think of it this way. We love all of them, okay? But you know, Jesus dealt with the typical sinner very differently than he dealt with the scribes and Pharisees, because they were the ones who were benefiting from keeping the people in bondage. And Jesus called them whited sepulchers. He said, "You brood of vipers, how can any of you escape damnation?" He was tough on them because he knew that they were the ones who were keeping the people in the bondage of lies. And so we don't hate anybody. We hate falsehood, but there is a system that has been erected to keep people in it. And I'm going after that system with an absolute sledgehammer.
Yeah, that's the difference, Norman. But I appreciate the call. I appreciate you listening to the program. And we're going after that ideology, because that ideology is from the prince of the power of the air, is from the devil. The Bible says, 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and he's the one pushing all these things. And so as the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not the enemy. People are they're being used by the enemy, and the enemy is the real, you know, he's the power behind all that. So thanks for that call. We have our friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, yes, Brother Jeff. I used to listen to Reverend Jackson faithfully every day. I'm a 75-year-old man. I was a Marine Corps veteran and in the 60s, but simplify. I have slowly, simplify to you, brother, I have slowly have lost my faith in America. This is not the America that I grew up in. when the baby boomers die out of this country, God help this country. It was said one time that America was great because America was good. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid that America is not good anymore. We're killing more babies now with this overnight abortion pill than we was killing before they made abortion illegal.
Yeah.
And just like you say, we've got these data centers that they're putting in. We are headed exactly to where communist China is, where they can control everything we do. And I'm like the one, gentleman, this stuff is, we all know what Russia, why we had a Cold War and how they treat the people in China. I think we have got to the point of Romans. God has given us over to a reprobate mind. And you can't count on the churches to help us, because just about every denomination in this country, except the Southern Baptists and Free Will Baptists, most of the rest of them are corrupt themselves. The church cannot save America anymore, because the church needs saved. They're lost.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, Bishop, let me ask you this, because I've had Daryl Harrison on the program before, and he was talking about the black church, and so many of the black churches have been hijacked by the Democrat Party, and they're not preaching the gospel. They're preaching black liberation theology or whatever, like at Obama's church. He brings up a good point, because we are seeing us kind of sliding into the abyss.
Well, look, as someone who's on the front lines of this issue, our organization is trying to bring people together across racial and cultural lines, which means that we go very much into the inner city and try to deal with some of those issues and bring people into a truthful, biblical understanding of what is going on and how to come out of it. And that means working with people from all backgrounds and all cultures, and realizing we shouldn't allow ourselves to be divided on the superficiality of that. But look, the word of God says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That means, in spite of everything we see going around us, we have got to keep our eyes on the prize. We've got to maintain the vision that God has for America as a shining city on a hill, as one nation under God, as a nation whose God is the Lord. And I think that's what drives me. Yeah, I see all this bad stuff happening, but I still know that God is on the throne, mm-hmm. and that if his people will stand up, mm-hmm. I believe God will give us the victory, no matter how dark it may look at any given moment.
Amen to that. There is hope. The Lord is the God of hope, Romans 15:13. We have Roy on the line from New Hampshire. Roy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
My brothers in Christ, I just want to let you know, I attended a meeting, a Republican meeting Thursday, because I had gotten a text from one of the leaders at the Citizens Alliance of New Hampshire, and Anthony D. Lorenzo was the candidate that's running for District 1 in our state, and he asked us all, it was a small group, he said, what is the most pressing need in our state, or your greatest concern within our state? And a couple people chimed in and named a couple of things, and I just told them, I said, it's the Islamification possibility of our state, because we get a lot of bleed over from Massachusetts, and we get a lot of bleed over from Maine, and I would like to know, how do we get a ground game to prevent this from happening? Some churches are talking about it, some, but not enough. And so,
we're almost out of time. Bishop, you want to address that?
Yeah, I think part of it, the ground game certainly helps, but you got to educate people, because I think a lot of people hear that and they think, oh, you're being Islamophobic, or why are you? Islam is incompatible with the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, and we've got to educate people to that fact.
Yes. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Bishop, tell again where you're going to be tonight.
I'll be at Joy Church tonight in Matthews. I think it's 11516 Idlewild Road in Matthews, North Carolina, at 7 p.m.
All right. Well, Bishop, thanks so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure, my friend, and I'm going to work on some dates and shoot those to you. We'd love to bring the Truth Tour to First Baptist Texarkana. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? God will use you as His witness, and you can be part of something great as you share the good news with a lost and dying world. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.